You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Let's talk about two films. One of them is the dramatic chase film, Penguins in 3D. No, we are going to talk about Penguins. We do want your best on the run films. You're already texting in some classics. I will get to them all in a moment. Let's first of all, though, talk about the two faces of January. Josh, we've got the trailer to play before we hear it, so we know what we're hearing. What's the basic premise?
Okay, quick setup. It's based on a book by Patricia Highsmith of the talented Mr. Ripley fame. It stars Oscar Isaac, Kirsten Dunst, I got it right that time, and Viggo Mortensen. Viggo Mortensen and Kirsten Dunst. I know, wonderful cast, like a very attractive cast.
Yeah, really ugly. Oh, yeah. They got the really ordinary looking yes. people, didn't they? Yeah.
He's a New Yorker who's ripped off a lot of investors, and he's done a runner to Greece with his trophy wife, Dunst, and they bump into Oscar Isaac, who's also a New Yorker, working as a tour guide
he's
in Greece.
He's from the Coen Brothers film, Oscar Isaac?
He is, yeah.
The Llewellyn Davis film.
That's it. Also in Balibo. He played...
Was he in Balibo?
Yeah, Ramos Horta, yeah.
Oh, right. Totally didn't make that connection.
Okay. Yeah, he's kind of building a pretty good resume, actually. So, yeah, he's a tour guide in Athens who's basically ripping off tourists. So he's a sort of small-time crook. Viggo Mortensen's a big-time crook.
Okay.
And he gets sort of brought into their web of lies, deception, and trying to help them out of the country but also make a buck out of this businessman. And what follows is a bit of a love triangle as well.
Oh, okay, let's have a little listen to the trailer.
I have a friend. He might know somebody that could help you out. I'd certainly make it worth your while.
I'm sure it's not just the money.
I think he's also got a thing for you.
You keep a diary?
Yeah, it's just notes from my work.
Anything about me and Chester?
It's all over the news. You have to turn yourself in.
Well, the rest of you is an accomplice.
Guess you must have thought of that, or you would have gone to the cops.
You have no idea what I'm thinking.
Doesn't everyone have a thing for Kirsten Dunst? That's like the whole world, isn't it? I don't know. And if, remember, of course, Viggo Mortensen was Strider in The Lord of the Rings. Strider?
Yes, he was.
His name then becomes the king, etc. Just in case you were having trouble placing the name. So what's it like?
This is one of those strange films that ticks so many boxes. And yet, look, it's a beautiful film, not just the cast, but the setting as well. I mean, it's filmed in Athens in the Greek Isles, so kind of wonderful and luscious. I mean, it looks like it's shot on film. I'm not sure if it was actually shot on digital, but it looks stunning. The performances from the three leads are all really impressive. The script is pretty decent. And yet, I kind of came out of this feeling like, you know what? It wasn't a bad film, wasn't a great film. It passed a couple of hours. It was pretty, but it's one of those strange films that's kind of hard to pin down what goes wrong. You know, the ending's not great. The ending's sort of a little bit too convenient. It wraps up everything in a little neat bow, which is a little bit frustrating.
Do you know if that's the same ending as the book?
Possibly, yeah. Now, look, I heard RN, there were two critics on RN on Monday or Tuesday talking about it, and they said, to be fair, this is not one of Highsmith's greater novels.
Oh, okay.
But what the film does interesting is it toys with myth. So you have this sort of stock standard love triangle sort of thriller narrative, but it's playing a lot with the particularly paternal myths and father-son. This is a film obsessed with father-son relationships. Okay. So the film opens...
That should attract a few people.
Yeah, I mean, isn't most Hollywood films obsessed with father-son relationships in some way? It opens with Oscar Isaac at the Parthenon with a tour guide or a tour full of very attractive women ogling him, a little bit like that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where Harrison Ford's giving the lecture and there's all the women with the batting their eyelids.
Yep, yep.
So quite like that. So talking about the myth of Theseus, who's just slew the Minotaur, he's come back, he's forgotten to put the proper sails on his ship, so his father commits suicide out of, tragic irony. Oscar Isaac's character's father has passed away in New York and he hasn't gone back to the funeral. So then it starts establishing this sort of surrogate father-son relationship with the Viggo Mortensen character. And, the film plays on these various Greek myths through the scenery. There's a number of scenes where they seem to go into the ruins, like these labyrinthine ruins as well, very much like the sort of the Minotaur and hunting that evil. And also the fact that you have an Oedipal triangle, played out with the three lead characters, and you have Viggo Mortensen, who, of course, more than Strider, is actually Sigmund Freud after David Cronenberg film.
Of course, yes,
so there's layer upon layer of this sort of father-son relationship.
That was the Jung Freud film.
Dangerous Method with Keira Knightley's chin. Mm. The other thing that lends adds another layer of this
and
curious...
The Fassbender.
Layer of this father-son obsession is that it's produced by Max Minghella, who's the son of Anthony Minghella, who directed The Talented Mr. Patient. Ripley.
Yep. Oh, and Talented Mr. Ripley.
So you have another sort of Highsmith level. So it's kind of this web of father-son relationships. And look, the performances and the scenery alone is probably worth seeing. Just maybe don't expect to be kind of blown away or to be kind of leave with any
sounds
sort of...
to me like really good Saturday night pizza and beer film.
Yeah, look, it's DVD. This is disposable fare. Yep. This is polished cinema. Look, yeah, it's enjoyable. It feels
pacey?
Like... Well, yeah, there's nothing wrong with the pace as well. It's one of those strange films, and it's not just me who's had this response. This seems to be the general critical response. It's one of these films that, you know, it's kind of hard to pin down where it goes wrong, if it goes wrong at all, and yet you're sort of thinking, well, with a cast like that, with a cinematographer like that, with a, you know, with the Highsmith kind of, you know,
pedigree
adaptation.
Of the director.
Yeah, well, also the director, Hussein Amini. It's actually his debut feature film. He wrote and adapted the Highsmith novel. He wrote the screenplay for Drive, the Ryan Gosling film that came out a few years ago, directed by Nicholas Winding Refn.
Which received really well.
So, yeah, you know, it ticks all the boxes, and yet...
Okay.
There you go.
It is the two faces of January. So that's got us thinking of on-the-run films. Now, you know, the pace, the relentless, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, you can't even breathe. I'm going to nominate my one because my number one trash enjoyment, Josh hates my trash taste in film. I won't tell him that I'm going to see the fourth Transformers film tomorrow in IMAX 3D because that's the kind of guy
tisk,
that I am.
Tisk, tisk.
You've got to be able to enjoy everything from the LSO to the Transformers, Josh. It's a beautiful wide world. But in that vein, the Tony Scott-directed Will Smith vehicle, Enemy of the State, with Gene Hackman. It's kind of sort of a sequel to The Conversation, but not at all. It is relentless. The pace never lets up. Have a little listen.
The National Security Agency conducts worldwide surveillance. Fax, phones, satellite communication. The only ones in the country, including the military, could possibly have anything like this.
Why are they after me?
I don't know, and I don't want to know.
Here they come.
I thought these sat dishes would scramble their signal.
Patrol, this is Air One. Repeat coordinates.
105 Chambers Avenue.
You're transmitting. They still have a signal on you. Your collar, your belt, your zipper. Get rid of your clothes, all of them.
But, and then what am I supposed to do?
Nothing. You live another day, I'll be very impressed.
Oh, my heart starts pumping even when I start thinking about it. Will Smith is often rubbish. He's really good in Enemy of the State. So 1300-222-774, your best relentlessly paced on-the-run film, 1300-222-774. Let me read some of your texts. There may come a day when Aragorn is known only as Strider, but it is not this day. I love that text. That's beautiful. Best on-the-run movie, the Bourne movies. Yes, I'd give you that. You agree? All three?
Yeah, pretty much. The fourth one with Jeremy Renner wasn't
was okay.
so great, but yeah. It's the Matt Damon factor. Can't go wrong with a bit of Damon.
Even watching Matt Damon dance in a booth with Stephen Colbert, you know, I can sort of kind of watch him do anything. Can't remember the name of the movie, but it starred Ryan O'Neill and Sidney Poitier chasing a guy across the Canadian border. I saw it years after it was released, and they deleted a joke about a black man with frostbite. Ryan O'Neill and Sidney Poitier, if anyone knows, chasing someone over the border. Quite a few people texting in Nuns on the Run, which... have you ever? I don't even know what
Nuns on the Run.
What's that?
I think is it Eric Idle and is it who was Cracker? What's his name?
It's not coming through. That's okay. Look, you help us
Coltrane.
Out. Right, Robbie Coltrane.
Yeah, I think he's in it as well, isn't
he? Okay. Best on your in your seat action and tension, the Bourne series, quite a few of you texting that. Run Lola Run, not rubbish but unrelenting. Yeah, I like the unrelenting nature of that. Someone else texting in Captain Phillips, oh my God, couldn't breathe. Yeah, I think Captain Phillips is made by Paul Greengrass.
It is.
Who made Flight
93.
Flight 93, which is the flight on September 11 that crashes in a field. And that was actually the first time I read that line from Peter Bradshaw, where it's the sort of film where he actually afterwards had needed to find a dark room, lie down on the floor and regain his breath and slow his heartbeat down, because both of those films actually are completely relentless. I'm loving these. You can join us on the phone as well, but I'm loving this selection of texts. 1300-222-774 is the phone number. Terminator 2, in fact, I would nominate both Terminator films as that sort of relentless, oh my God, on the run films. Blues Brothers, on the run film?
On the run from Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, highly enjoyable. I just don't know if it fits in with the on the run thing. Vanishing Point, a great chase movie from, I think, the early 70s. Great action, muscle cars, and a shock ending. Not to be missed. Have you seen Vanishing Point?
I have, yeah. Tarantino was an inspiration for Death Proof.
And look, actually, another one that none of you have mentioned, and I'm surprised. How could this have fallen off? We now know that Sandra Bullock's role extraordinaire is just to be relentlessly chased and put under pressure. And this is the first time you saw her in that role. Hopefully you can pick the film from this.
Pop quiz, hot shot. Once the bus goes 50 miles an hour, the bomb is on. If it drops below 50, it blows up. What do you do?
Pop quiz.
I love that
Keanu
film
Reeves.
So much.
Oh, such a good film. Speed. And one of the films that has the biggest gap between original and sequel is Speed and Speed 2. There's never been a greater drop-off in quality.
Speed on a boat. Yeah, yeah, really. Whose idea was that?
Oh, well, she did it for cash.
Sandra Bullock did. Was it The Net? Was it the one after she did Speed? Which was like her.
That.
It was one of those first, the internet has stolen your identity.
Yeah.
And she had to kind of, she was on the run from government agencies who have stolen her identity, and she had to prove them. Yeah.
Probably one I don't need to worry about.
No.
And the best on the run movie is Running on Empty, the early River Phoenix film about a family on the run since the 60s from the FBI and the effect on the children. Compelling and heartbreaking. That's from Robin in Frankston.
I was going to nominate that one, actually. Yeah. That's brilliant.
And Gravity.
Well, yes,
Gravity's got to be one of the best on the run. I mean, that's just an
on the run from those
thumper.
Asteroids.
Yeah, speaking about IMAX in 3D, I'll tell you what, if you haven't seen Gravity, as Molly would say, do yourself a favour. Go and see it in IMAX 3D. It is extraordinary.
On 774 ABC Melbourne, you're listening to Raphael Epstein.
We are going to talk about that relentlessly on the run, pacey film, Penguins in 3D, in just a moment. First, though, Stephen's called from Parkdale with his own on the run film. Hi, Stephen.
Yeah, how are you going, Ruth? The Taking of Pelham 123. It's a good train chase movie.
That's now, there's two versions. Isn't there a Travolta Denzel version,
yeah,
and an
also
older one?
A John Voight version. And, yeah, it's about a train robbery, really.
And what's the John Voight one like? I haven't seen that one.
It's better than the second one.
Oh, okay. Look, I'm going to add that one to the... do you have a reading list? No, I guess you don't. But, you know, the read list you have on all those articles in the web you actually never get around to. Was going to text, but nobody's mentioned The Fugitive. We have, though. I just want to name check that. And Black Hawk Down, Intense All the Way, indeed. Tell me about the relentlessly fast-paced Penguins.
Penguins 3D is the new film in IMAX. It opened this week just in time for the school holidays. Look, this is very much one for the kiddies. If you want to get the kids out of the house during the school holidays.
Get them out of the house and stick them in front of an even bigger TV.
Exactly. Yeah. It's narrated by David Attenborough. It is a nature doco structured around a kind of domestic drama. We have the boy penguin meets girl penguin. They get together on Penguin City in South Georgian island.
This is animated or it's...
No, this is live footage, but Attenborough narrates a story or imposes a kind of a narrative it. So we have the coming together. It's a kind of a domestic drama mixed with a rites of passage kind of cycle of life story.
Sounds a bit odd.
Well, most of them, you know, things like March of the Penguins, they impose a kind of a human-centered narrative over...
But March of the Penguins had the voice of God. It's different.
Morgan Freeman. It's, yeah. It's either Morgan Freeman or David Attenborough. Although,
true,
interestingly enough, so this is actually a truncated version of a film called Adventures of the Penguin King, which was released theatrically in cinemas, particularly I think in the US and the UK, that had a running time of around 80 minutes. And this has been truncated down to a 45-minute IMAX film. And Tim Allen narrated the American version. So I think we got the better end of the deal.
Is this filmed on IMAX cameras?
It is. And look, it is stunning. But in comparison to the last couple of IMAX films, Hidden Universe, which was remarkable, and Unseen World, which I talked about a few months ago, this one feels more aimed at children. It doesn't really have the level of adult interest. Look, it plays on the comedy. There's lots of walruses with flatulence problems. There's lots of seals that are sort of hunting these poor penguins.
Sure. So it could go down well with the right demographic.
It's fun. And Attenborough's voice really makes it. There's moments where you get intonations where, for example, the penguins turn up on the wrong beach and they're trying to get past the walruses who've made a wall, like a farting wall. It's very much like a scene out of Labyrinth. And Attenborough sort of just pauses and says, "There, baffled.
Right.
And continue on. I chuckled at that. I love Attenborough. So yeah. His voice kind of, you know, gets you through, but it does feel like a little bit of a truncated film. So apparently the longer version, we get more of the son's journey. This is more about the parents kind of coming together and producing their offspring.
Okay. Not so bad. Not so bad. So that is Penguins in 3D. That's an IMAX film. The other was Two Faces of January. Wide release for Two Faces of January, isn't it?
Yeah, it would. Oh, actually, probably outside of the multiplexes, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Okay. A few texts that I have neglected. Lone Survivor. Midnight Run with De Niro. Absolutely. Quite a few of you mentioning Midnight Run all in a row. Jurassic Park, nominated by someone here helping do the show as well. And Relentless, 3 Days of the Condor with Robert Redford. And finally, a mention of No Country for Old Men, the fantastic Javier Bardem flick by the Coen brothers, adapted from the fantastic Cormac McCarthy film. Another chilling little listen to that.
What's the most you ever lost on a coin toss?
Sir?
The most you ever lost on a coin toss.
I don't know. I couldn't say.
Call it.
Call it.
Yes.
For what?
Just call it.
Oh, I tell you what, though, No Country for Old Men, I've read it 3 times. It's that good, Cormac McCarthy, and it's a damn fine film. Josh, thank you for coming in.
Pleasure.
Josh's blog is filmology.com with a PH.